Gideon glanced at his watch.
Time to go, Angel.
He fetched his jacket, then gestured for me to precede him through his luxurious living room, where I grabbed my purse and the bag holding my walking shoes and other necessities. A few moments later, we'd finished the descent to the ground floor in his private elevator and slid into the back of his black Bentley SUV. Hi, Angus, I greeted his driver, who touched the brim of his old-fashioned chauffeur's hat.
Good morning, Miss Trammell, he replied, smiling.
He was an older gentleman, with a liberal sprinkling of white in his red hair. I liked him for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was the fact that he'd been driving Gideon around since grade school and genuinely cared for him. A quick glance at the Rolex my mother and stepfather had given me told me I'd make it to work on time, if we didn't get boxed in by traffic. Even as I thought this, Angus slid deftly into the sea of taxis and cars on the street. After the tense quiet of Gideon's apartment, the noise of Manhattan woke me as effectively as a jolt of caffeine. The blaring of horns and the thud of tires over a manhole cover invigorated me. Rapid-moving streams of pedestrians flanked both sides of the clogged street, while buildings stretched ambitiously toward the sky, keeping us in shadow even as the sun climbed. God, I seriously loved New York. I took the time every day to absorb it, to try to draw it into me. I settled into the leather seat back and reached for Gideon's hand, giving it a squeeze. Would you feel better if Carrie and I left town for the weekend? Maybe a quick trip to Vegas? Gideon's gaze narrowed.
Am I a threat to Carrie? Is that why you won't consider Arizona?
What? No, I don't think so. Shifting in the seat, I faced him. Sometimes it takes an all-nighter before I can get him to open up.
You don't think so?
He repeated my answer, ignoring everything but the first words out of my mouth. He might feel like he can't reach out to me when he needs to talk because I'm always with you, I clarified, steadying my mug with two hands as we drove over a pothole. Listen, you're going to have to get over any jealousy about Carrie. When I say he's like a brother to me, Gideon, I'm not kidding. You don't have to like him, but you have to understand that he's a permanent part of my life.
Do you tell him the same thing about me?
I don't have to. He knows. I'm trying to reach a compromise here.
I never compromise.
My brows rose. In business, I'm sure you don't. But this is a relationship, Gideon. It requires give and...
Gideon's growl cut me off. My plane, my hotel. And if you leave the premises, you take a security team with you.
His sudden, reluctant capitulation surprised me silent for a long minute. Long enough for his brow to arch over those piercing blue eyes in a look that said, take it or leave it. Don't you think that's a little extreme? I prodded. I'll have Carrie with me.
You'll forgive me if I don't trust him with your safety after last night.
As he drank his coffee, his posture made it very clear that the conversation was done in his mind. He'd given me his acceptable options. I might have gotten bitchy about that kind of high-handedness if I didn't understand that taking care of me was his motivation. My past had vicious skeletons, and dating Gideon had put me in a media spotlight that could bring Nathan Barker right to my door. Plus, controlling everything around him was just part of who Gideon was. It came with the package, and I had to make accommodations for that. Okay, I agreed. Which hotel is yours?
I have a few. You can take your pick.
He turned his head to look out the window.
Scott will email you the list. When you've decided, let him know, and he'll make the arrangements. We'll fly out together and return together.
Leaning my shoulder into the seat, I took a drink of my coffee and noted the way his hand was fisted on his thigh. In the tinted window's reflection, Gideon's face was impassive, but I could feel his moodiness.
Thank you, I murmured. Don't. I'm not happy about this, Ava.
A muscle in his jaw twitched.
Your roommate fucks up and I have to spend the weekend without you.
Hating that he was unhappy, I took his coffee from him and set our travel mugs in the backseat cup holders. Then I climbed into his lap, straddling him. I draped my arms around his shoulders. I appreciate you bending on this, Gideon. It means a lot to me. He caught me in his fierce blue gaze.
I knew you were going to drive me insane the moment I saw you.
I smiled, recalling how we'd met. Sprawled on my ass on the lobby floor of the Crossfire building?
Before. Outside.
Frowning, I asked, outside where?
On the sidewalk.
Gideon gripped my hips, squeezing in that possessive, commanding way of his that made me ache for him.
I was leaving for a meeting. A minute later, and I would have missed you. I'd just gotten into the car when you came around the corner.
I remembered the Bentley idling at the curb that day. I'd been too awed by the building to take note of the sleek vehicle when I arrived, but I had noticed it when I left.
You hit me the instant I saw you, he said gruffly. I couldn't look away. I wanted you immediately, excessively, almost violently.
How could I not have known that there'd been more to our first meeting than I'd realized? I thought we'd stumbled across each other by accident. But he'd been leaving for the day, which meant he had deliberately backtracked inside, for me.
You stopped right next to the Bentley, he went on, and your head tilted back. You were looking up at the building, and I pictured you on your knees, looking up at me that same way.
The low growl in Gideon's voice had me squirming in his lap. What way?
I whispered, mesmerized by the fire in his eyes. With excitement, a little awe, a little intimidation.
Cupping my rear, he urged me tighter against him.
There was no way to stop myself from following you inside. And there you were, right where I'd wanted you, damn near kneeling in front of me. In that minute, I had a half dozen fantasies about what I was going to do to you when I got you naked.
I swallowed, remembering my similar reaction to him. Looking at you for the first time made me think about sex. Screaming, sheet-clawing sex.
I saw that.
His hands slid up either side of my spine.
And I knew you saw me, too. Saw what I am, what I have inside me. You saw right through me.
And that was what had knocked me on my ass. Literally. I'd looked into his eyes and realized how tightly reined he was. What a shadowed soul he had. I had seen power and hunger and control and demand. Somewhere inside me, I'd known he would take me over. It was a relief to know he'd felt the same upheaval over me. Gideon's hands hugged my shoulder blades and pulled me closer until our foreheads touched.
No one's ever seen before, Ava. You're the only one.
My throat tightened painfully. In so many ways, Gideon was a hard man, yet he could be so sweet to me, almost childishly so, which I loved because it was pure and uncontrolled. If no one else bothered to look beyond his striking face and impressive bank account, they didn't deserve to know him. I had no idea. You were so cool. I didn't seem to affect you at all.
Cool, he scoffed. I was on fire for you. I've been fucked up ever since.
Gee, thanks.
You made me need you, he rasped. Now I can't stand the thought of 2 days without you.
Holding his jaw in my hands, I kissed him tenderly, my lips coaxing and apologetic. I love you too, I whispered against his beautiful mouth. I can't stand being away from you either. His returning kiss was greedy, devouring, and yet the way he held me close to him was gentle and reverent, as if I were precious. When he pulled back, we were both breathing hard. I'm not even your type, I teased, trying to lighten the mood before we went into work. Gideon's preference for brunettes was well known and well documented. I felt the Bentley pull over and to a halt. Angus got out of the car to give us privacy, leaving the engine and air conditioning running. I looked out the window and saw the Crossfire beside us.
about the type thing.
Gideon's head fell back to rest against the seat. He took a deep breath.
Corinne was surprised by you. You weren't what she'd expected.
My jaw tightened at the mention of Gideon's former fiancé, even knowing that their relationship had been about friendship and loneliness for him, not love. Didn't stop the claws of envy from digging into me. Jealousy was one of my virulent flaws. Because I'm blonde?
Because you don't look like her.
My breath caught. I hadn't considered that Corinne had set the standard for him. Even Magdalena Perez, one of Gideon's friends who wished she were more, had said she'd kept her dark hair long to emulate Corinne. But I hadn't grasped the complexity of that observation. My God, if it was true, Corinne had tremendous power over Gideon, way more than I could bear. My heart rate quickened and my stomach churned. I hated her irrationally. Hated that she'd had even a piece of him. Hated every woman who'd known his touch, his lust, his amazing body. I started sliding off him.
Ava.
He stayed me by tightening his grip on my thighs.
I don't know if she's right.
I looked down at where he held me, and the sight of my promise ring on the finger of his right hand, my brand of ownership, calmed me. So did the look of confusion on his face when I met his gaze. You don't?
If that's what it wasn't conscious. I wasn't looking for her in other women. I didn't know I was looking for anything until I saw you.
My hand slid down his lapels as relief filled me. Maybe he hadn't been consciously looking for her, but even if he had, I couldn't be more different from Corinne in appearance and temperament. I was unique to him, a woman apart from his others in every way. I wish that could be enough to kill my jealousy. Maybe it wasn't a preference so much as a pattern. I smoothed his frown line with a fingertip. You should ask Dr. Peterson when we see him tonight. I wish I had more answers after all my years of therapy, but I don't. There's a lot that's inexplicable between us, isn't there? I still have no idea what you see in me that's hooked you.
It's what you see in me, Angel, he said quietly, his features softening. That you can know what I have in me and still want me as much as I want you. I go to sleep every night afraid I'll wake up and you'll be gone, or that I scared you away, that I dreamed you.
No, Gideon.
Jesus.
He broke my heart every day. Shattered me.
I know I don't tell you how I feel about you in the same way you tell me, but you have me. You know that.
Yes, I know you love me, Gideon.
Insanely, outrageously, obsessively, just like my feelings for him. I'm caught up with you, Ava.
With his head tilted back, Gideon pulled me down for the sweetest of kisses, his firm lips moving gently beneath mine.
I'd kill for you,
he whispered.
Give up everything I own for you, but I won't give you up. 2 days is my limit. Don't ask me for more than that. I can't give it to you.
I didn't take his words lightly. His wealth insulated him, gave him the power and control that had been stolen from him at some point in his life. He'd suffered brutality and violation, just as I had. That he would consider it worthwhile to lose his peace of mind just to keep me meant more than the words, I love you. I just need the 2 days, Ace, and I'll make them worth your while. The starkness of his gaze bled away, replaced by sexual heat.
Oh? Planning on pacifying me with sex, Angel?
Yes, I admitted shamelessly. Lots of it. After all, the tactic seems to work well for you. His mouth curved, but his gaze had a sharpness that quickened my breath. The dark look he gave me reminded me, as if I could forget, that Gideon wasn't a man who could be managed or tamed.
Oh, Ava,
he purred, sprawled against the seat with the predatory insouciance of a sleek panther who'd neatly trapped a mouse in his den. A delicious shiver moved through me. When it came to Gideon, I was more than willing to be devoured.